Welcome to another night on the creek. We're in Fish Lake Valley on the banks of Chattahoochee Creek. And this is, the Lord gave this to us for now. It's His, always. We're going to go and talk about the parable of the ram and the goat. And we're in Daniel, the 8th chapter. Daniel chapter 8. The vision of the ram and the goat. In the third year of the reign of Belshazzar the king, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, subsequent to the one which appeared to me previously. And I looked in the vision, and it came about that while I was looking, that I was in the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam. And I looked in the vision, and I myself beside Eulaicanel. Then I lifted my gaze and looked, and behold, a ram. Now, everything here that has been depicted so far is a historical event. When Daniel and Judah were carried and Israel were carried off into captivity. He tells you exactly where he is and exactly the year it was. And yet, this time is far reaching, far ahead. And I lifted up my gaze, and behold, a ram, which had two horns, was standing in front of the canal. Now, a ram having two horns is normal, isn't it? He's standing in front of the canal. Now, the two horns were long, but one was longer than the other, with the longer one coming up last. And I saw as a ram budding westward and northward and southward, and no other beast could stand before him, nor was there any rescue from his power. But he did as he pleased and magnified himself. And while I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between its eyes. That's a little unusual. And he came up to the ram that had the two horns, which he had seen standing in front of the canal, and rushed at him with a mighty wrath. And I saw him come beside the ram, and he enraged at the ram, enraged at him, and he struck the ram and shattered his two horns. And the ram had no strength to withstand him, so he hurled him to the ground and trampled on him, and there was none to rescue the ram for his power. Then the male goat magnified himself exceedingly. But as soon as he was mighty, the large ram was broken. The large horn was broken. And in its place came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of the heaven. Now these are, this is prophecy. Prophecy means to say something before it happens. To say before. Now this is all prophecy where it was about to happen. Daniel lived in Nebuchadnezzar's time. We have the Medes and the Persians, then we have the Alexander the Great. And he's jumping ahead to see all of these things in time and space. The little horn. And out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly, grew toward the south, toward the east, and toward the beautiful land. Now what do you think the beautiful land is? Palestine, Jerusalem. And it grew up at the host of heaven, and calls it grew up to the host of heaven, to the host. That's the armies of heaven. And calls some of the hosts and some of the stars to fall. Now here we have a picture of Satan himself. To the earth, and it trampled down, and even magnified himself to be equal with the commander of the host, and removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was thrown down. On account of transgression, the host will be given over to the horn along with the regular sacrifice. It will fling truth to the ground and perform its will and prosper. We know that this has happened so many times in history, but we find out later on who all this was, and there's interpretation of this. Then I heard the Holy One speaking, and another Holy One said to that particular one who's speaking, how long will the vision about this regular sacrifice apply? Will the transgression, while the transgression causes horror so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled? And he said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the holy place will be properly restored. Time. Specific time. And it came about when I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And here we have Jesus, like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Eliah, and he called out to send Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing and where I was frightened and fell on my face, and he said to me, Son of man, understand the vision pertains to the time to the end, the very end time that's ahead of us yet today. Now while I was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep. This is hypnotic trance. This hypnose, the Greek word is, with my face to the ground. But he touched me and made me stand upright, and he said, behold, I'm going to let you know what will occur in the final period of the indignation, and it pertains to the appointed time of the end. Now the ram's identity. The ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia. Media and Persia. The Medes and Persians. And the shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece. This is before it ever happened. You have to realize he's naming these nations that shall come to power before they ever happen. Now, when you, these modern agnostics, these modern people that say that the Bible is not true and that there were five or six Daniels and five or six Isaiahs, because surely they couldn't have said this before it happened. But yes, they did. And the large horn that is between his eyes is the first king. And the broken horn and the four horns that rose in his place represent four kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power. Alexander the Great had four generals. And when he died, he left no heirs to his throne, and those four generals took the empires. In the latter period of the rule, the transgression had run the course, the king will arise, an insolent, skilled in intrigue, and his power will be mighty, but not by his own power, and he will destroy to an extraordinary degree and prosper and perform his will. And he will destroy mighty men in holy place and the holy place. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. And he will magnify himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they are at ease. And he will even oppose the prince of princes, but he will be broken without human agency, divine agency. And the vision of the evenings and the mornings which had been told is true. Keep the vision secret as it pertains to many days in the future. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days. Then I got up again and carried on the king's business. But I was astounded at the vision, and there was none to explain it. Now let's go to all the parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer, and read what Mr. Lockyer says about this parable that we have. The parable, the vision, the metaphor, the allegory, the simile of what's going to happen. Daniel saw a ram with two horns pushing forward, westward and south. Nothing could stand before the one illustrated. Whatever he willed, he accomplished, Daniel 8 and 4. As Daniel watched, a he-goat attacked the ram and overcame him, magnifying himself, and four horns appeared out of one which came another, and which grew until it had broken down the sanctuary. As Daniel pondered a vision and sought to understand a situation that greatly troubled him, Daniel 7 and 8, a divine interpretation was granted unto him. The ram symbolized the united power of Medo-Persia. The rough he-goat was the king of Greece, Alexander the Great, the son of Philip of Macedon, against whom a fierce force would arise and succeed him, but would be ultimately broken without hand. While the reader will find a fuller treatment of this fascinating aspect of Gentile history in many historical books, and one of them, All the Kings and Queens of the Bible, a brief summary of the significance of these two future beasts will suffice at this point. The ram stood for Medo-Persia Empire. Its two horns, the two kings, Darius and Cyrus. Darius and Cyrus. Remember, Cyrus was the one that let the children of Israel go back home. One horn was higher than the other, and higher came last. The he-goat represented the Grecian Empire, the great horn between its eyes, the first king, Alexander the Great, and the four horns and the four kingdoms into which Greece was divided, mainly Macedonia, Thrace, Syria, and Egypt, which became absorbed in later in the Roman Empire. As Daniel considered a vision of the ram, he saw the he-goat come from the west unmolested and noticed that the notable horn between its eyes, and moved with anger, attacked the ram and stamped upon it, and the he-goat waxed great, but its horn was broken off, and four notable horns waxed exceedingly great. Alexander the Great died young. Waxed exceedingly great toward the south and the east and toward Palestine and the pleasant land. And guess who was there? Antiochus Epiphanes. A goat was the symbol of Macedonia and was found on its coins. The legend has it that Charimus, the first king of Macedon, was led by to his capital, Edessa, by a herd of goats. Edessa originally meant the goat city. In like manner, Persian coins displayed a ram's head, and the ram looked upon its guardian spirit as a guardian spirit of Persia. It was revealed to Daniel that the two horns of the ram, the two shoulders of the bear, the two horns of the great image represented the same thing, namely the double kingdom of Medo-Persia, and the four horns coming up in the place of the great horn corresponding to the four heads of the third wild beast, the leopard. So the he-goat and the leopard, the belly and thighs of the image all stood for the Grecian Empire and its fourfold divisions among the generals of Alexander the Great. What must not be forgotten is that Daniel's revelation was progressive, each new vision throwing light on the previous visions. For instance, the ram pushing in a threefold direction threw light upon the bear, crunching three ribs in its mouth and parabolically subjugating Lydia to the west and Babylonia to the north and Egypt to the south. Daniel saw a little horn come up and one of the four horns, and Daniel explained to the prophet the significance of the symbol. The passage describing the little horn in his rule is tyrant and desecrator of the temple, probably found fulfillment in Antiochus Epiphany. And there we have the Maccabees coming to rescue. And there we have the Hanukkah. And also the Purim, the feast about these things. Purim was a feast where Haman and Mordecai. And Mordecai overcame Haman by the power of God. And now we're going to see Antiochus Epiphanes is going to be overtaken by the Maccabees, which means the hammer. The hammer. We may also have here a parable of the tribulation era when the Antichrist will seek to exercise worldwide dominion, Daniel 8:22-27. Such a tremendous revelation of coming events so overcame Daniel that he fainted and was sick for many days. We live in a time that's leading up to this today. We see a great nations rise. We see the things that could be possibly the last empire. We have Egypt. We have Persia. We have Babylon. We have Medo-Persia. We have Alexander the Great. We have the Roman Empire. And then we have the Ottoman Empire, the Seventh Empire. And the Eighth is a revision of the Seventh. The Persian Empire, or the Ottoman Empire, the Islamic Empire, the Caliphate dissolved in 1922, March the 3rd, 1922. But it will rise again, and we see all of this today. We know that there's the Antichrist, there's the beast, and the false prophet in the Bible. And we know also that there's a Mahdi that will be 40 years old, that will be a direct descendant of Muhammad through his daughter, Fatima. We know that according to Islam, that he will rule for 7 years, and that Isa will take over for 40 years. The Bible says that the Antichrist will come, he will rule for 7 years, that he will be accompanied by a beast that will mark all of the adherents to the Antichrist religion and political empire. The Bible says that the beast of Revelation will mark all of those with the mark of the Antichrist. The Mahdi, according to the Quran, the Sunnahs, and the Hadiths, will mark all. The Mahdi will be 40 years old. He will come out of Syria in that area. The beast will come out of Mecca. And then we have Isa, the Jesus of Islam, The Mahdi began to bring in the caliphate, the last caliphate, the renewal of the seventh empire, the eighth empire. That he will be accompanied by the beast that will mark all the true believers of Islam. This is according to their own religion. That there is no God but Allah, he has no companion, and Muhammad is his last prophet and final prophet. We see two juxtaposition prophecies. One of Islam and one of the Bible. Everything in Islam that is good is evil in the Bible. Everything that is evil in Islam is good in the Bible. We look at these things and we see these times upon us. Are you ready to meet this last days? Are you ready to see the prophecy of Daniel fulfilled? Are you ready to see the end times? Are you ready for the rapture? When the Lord takes up his people, all those are his in his church, and gather them to himself, and then hell is turned loose on earth, and the Antichrist, and all of his accomplices, and the demons of hell shall walk on this earth. And for 7 years there will be bloodshed. 5 out of every 6 people in the world will be killed. 2 out of every 3 Jews will be killed. And finally, the Bible says that Jesus will save the Jews. He's already raptured the church and the saved. And then he's going to save the Jews and bring in his kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. Islam says that finally, toward the end of the Mahdi's career, that Isa will arise and that he will kill all the Jews, that he will kill all the Christians, and that he will break all religions, break the cross, and bring in the last caliphate. And he will rule for 40 years. Are you ready for these things? You have diverse prophecies. Are you ready? Have you asked the Lord to save your soul and to forgive you of your sin? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he is Jehovah of the Old Testament? Do you believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried for 3 days and rose again, and he reigns on high forevermore, that he's coming back for your people, for his people? You believe that? You ask him to forgive you and save your soul. You will be with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this little time we had you on this beautiful creek. Forgive us for a failure. Help us to glorify you with our lives. Cleanse our minds, our hearts, and our souls. And help us to be pure for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.